Identity to me is something that's practical. It's like a dramatic role that you play out in the world. And while playing that out, it has to furnish you with a life. It means that it has to be negotiated with other people. And when you're a very young child and you first start to play with who you are, you live in a fantasy world. And so that means identity has to expand beyond its egocentric focus and increasingly be negotiated in the social world. Now imagine that you're lonely and you approach a young woman in a social situation, attempting to make some contact with her. You want to alleviate your loneliness, and so you hope you make a good impression, and you tell a joke, let's say in a relatively awkward manner, and you get rebuffed, then you're no longer where you control. You're no longer where you exercise control. And that brings up all sorts of specters immediately. It's like, well, why were you rebuffed? Well, maybe all women are to be despised. That's one theory. Maybe there's something deeply wrong with you. Maybe you're having an off day. Maybe it wasn't a very good joke. So when you don't get what you want, then a landscape of questions emerge, and those questions can resonate through different levels of your identity, from the trivial, oh, I told the joke wrong, to the profound, there's nothing desirable about me and I'll be alone for the rest of my life. It has to go through that period before you can emerge as a genuine individual, which means you have to know the rules of the game before you can break them. But not being able to abide by the rules is not anything like being a genuine creative individual. Those are not the same thing. And there's plenty of attempt to confuse the two things, because it's much better if you can't follow the rules to view yourself as a avant-garde revolutionary than as a failure. And it's not like I don't know that social molding crushes. Obviously it crushes, and everyone feels that. These are existential problems. Everyone deals with the tyranny of culture and the fact that it does want you to be a certain way and not other ways, and those ways might not be in keeping with the deepest elements of your nature. Well, tough luck for you, because you're also the beneficiary of culture. And so you have to offer it your pound of flesh. Now, you shouldn't do that at the expense of your soul, but you shouldn't stay an immature child either. So what happens is that if you act out your identity, if you act out your beliefs in the world, and what you want doesn't happen, what happens is that your body defaults into emergency preparation for action. And the reason for that is you've wandered too far away from the campfire, and now you're in the forest, and maybe you're naked. And so what do you do then? And the answer is, well, you don't know what to do. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? And the answer is, you prepare to do everything. And the problem with that is that it's unbelievably draining psychophysiologically. Like, it hurts you. People stay where what they do has the results they want. That's partly why you want to be around people who share your cultural presuppositions. It's very hard on us not to be where we know that what we want is going to happen. We hate that. By and large, we're conservative creatures, even if we're liberal in temperament. We can't tolerate that much uncertainty. And you might ask, well, why? And the answer is, well, because you can be hurt, pain, you can be damaged, you can become intolerably anxious, and you can die. So it's no wonder you're sensitive, or very sensitive, to negative emotion. And so, functional identity.
Spring into big savings on all Larson storm doors now at Menards. Larson doors are perfect to enjoy the fresh spring air. Whether you're looking for additional security or a screen door, we have what you need. They come in over 40 styles and 9 colors to choose from. Check out all Larson storm door options in store and find more great deals in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Regulates your emotion. But you do that in concert with other people. If you're acceptable to your peers and you behave well, they'll accept you. And then they tell you all the time if you're acting appropriately. You know, if your jokes are funny, if you're dominating the conversation, if you're bringing something of value to the table. And all you have to do is pay attention to the social cues. We've been social for so long that our social nature is programmed into our biology. And so you'll be punished if you're not useful to other people by your conscience, because you're a social creature. What if you think that's all pointless? Well, that doesn't seem very helpful. Okay, so you need a sustaining meaning. Well, where do you find that? Well, you generally find it in responsibility to yourself and to other people. When I commit to something and make sacrifices, you know, if something's valuable, you'll make sacrifices to attain it. And that discovery of sacrifice, it's one of the primary factors separating human beings from animals. Because we discovered that we could let go of something we value in the present and we would gain something we value even more in the future. We acted that out dramatically in all sorts of strange ways over thousands and thousands of years before it was formalizable psychologically. But it's a massive discovery. I can forego gratification in a particular way and benefit in the future. You make sacrifices to make the future better. Well, what if that doesn't pay off? Well, you know, think about that. You know what that's like. You endeavor to do something and it doesn't work. You're not appreciated for who you are. You fail. Maybe you fail despite your best efforts. Well, are you rejected by God? Well, it's as if you're rejected by God. Does it make you resentful? Does it make you bitter? Does it make you want to pull down the successful? The answer to that happens to be yes. You know, it's harsh that the rewards of life are indiscriminately distributed. It's hard on everyone, but it doesn't help. It doesn't help to become bitter. And it's not like I don't understand the temptation. And I see this in this culture war. I see this resentment. It colors the definition of identity. This attack on meritocracy. It's an attack on merit itself. You're lucky that there's such a thing as a job, or better yet, a career. You're lucky that there's such a thing as friendship, as marriage. All of these social institutions. And how do we know when something needs to be changed? We don't know, so we have to argue about it. And in order to argue about it effectively, we have to be able to talk to each other across our identity boundaries. And then we can decide, well, should this be maintained or should this be transformed? We have to strive not to be wretched. There's something that doesn't seem fair about that. Why couldn't we just be happy being who and what we are? Why is it that we're punished if we don't strive? Well, I don't know. We're negentropic organisms, right? I mean, we have to maintain this incredible complexity in the face of a dissipating universe. It requires effort. The positive emotion that we find sustaining is experienced in relationship to an unachieved goal. It's hope that drives us forward. We want something, and if we see ourselves moving towards that, then we're in the grip of the positive emotion that we find sustaining. It isn't the attainment. Attainment is satiating. Attainment shuts down the system that has been striving for that particular object of attainment. If you're hungry and you eat, you stop being hungry. Now, that's good because the hunger is gone, but that whole frame disappears. You can no longer strive within that frame, and you need a new frame to strive towards. Don't you have a conscience? Doesn't it bother you? And then, can you control it? And the answer to that is almost inevitably no. It calls you to account. And why? Well, because you've deviated from the ideal. Whose ideal? An ideal that's making itself known within you, at least insofar as the objection arises. You wake up at 3 a.m. and torture yourself for your iniquities. And you would think, well, I could just shut that off. It's me, after all. But you can't shut it off. You're nothing compared to your conscience. Now, it's strange because you can ignore it. You cannot live according to its dictates, but it's not going to leave you alone. I took what I learned about what happened in the Second World War seriously. It's like, wow, we can be really bad. We should do something about that. Like, that was unacceptable. We're getting so powerful that each individual is now a force of almost unimaginable destructive power if they so choose to be. That power is going to continue to increase. And what that means is that the degree to which each of us has our act together is going to be something upon which the world increasingly depends for its maintenance. It's like, discipline yourself in one dimension. See what happens. Well, that's exciting. I don't understand, really. And it's really killing me, I think. I might mean that literally. I don't understand why I'm so controversial. I can't figure that out. It's very distressing to me. I'm ashamed, you know, of what's happened to me.
What do you mean?
And I'm very hurt. I'm a very destroyed person in many ways. And so I feel unworthy.
Unworthy of what?
Oh, you name it. I hope people find it useful, you know? I hope it alleviates some unnecessary suffering. That's the goal. I'm very fortunate in that regard. I get letters from people all the time that they open up their hearts. You know, it's really something. But I am somewhat nonplussed, let's say, for all this work. I'm pretty broken. It's not easy to know what to do with, you know, the cheers of a million people. It's overwhelming. It's dangerous. I don't think I've unfairly benefited from it. I'm not a hedonistic person. My lifestyle hasn't changed. I think there's more of me outside of me now than there is inside of me. When I put those first videos up, you know, this was bothering me, this piece of legislation. And I talked to my wife and my son sort of casually. I said, well, I'm going to make these videos, see what happens. And famous last words. The best we have might not always work, but it's still the best we have. And the fact that it might not work doesn't mean we should throw it away. It's still the best we have. I mean, everyone dies, and so we fail in some sense. The fact that a symphony ends doesn't mean that it wasn't worth listening to.